Thank you, Kelly. Thank you very much. And thank you for tuning in this morning. We are here every Saturday, just a little bit after 11 until just a little bit before noon. And I hope you will be as well. Please pick up that phone. Give us a call right now, won't you? Let's fill up those phone lines. Let's talk about gardening. This time of year is a challenging time because it may be 85 in Corpus Christi and 25 in Amarillo on the very same time, and I have to remember where I'm talking to. There's some grammatical issues going on with that sentence, but you get the picture. And that's what makes this program a lot of fun. I hope you'll pick up the phone, give us a call. Here is the number. It's toll free. Call and we can talk about the plants at your place. Any kind of a question or concern you have, any question you might have about what would be the best plant. We broadcast to more than 30 stations statewide, all the way from the Big Bend country in West Texas to the Sabine River, the boundary with Louisiana, and from the Red River all the way south to Corpus Christi and Victoria, Bryan College Station. I love doing this program. Toll-free number 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. I get to talk about gardening in my home state, and I have lived here all but the last, not the last, I live here now, all but about 6 years while I was in college, and that was a while back. Anyway, I have lived in Texas all my life and have traveled our great state. So I feel like we can do this. I've been doing this particular program for more than 30 years. Nick Carissimi is answering the phones, and he will be in that other studio over there, just an arm's length away, to take your call and get you ready to go on the air with me. 888-256-1080. Let's talk gardening right now. Let's fill up those phone lines, please. 888-256-1080. As we head into the second half of autumn, one of the things that I want to suggest to you is keep a close eye. We've had a lot of rain across Texas this fall, most parts of the state, and that has brought on an onset of broadleafed weeds. Chances are you didn't get gallery put out the first week of September, and so you may be seeing a lot of clover and dandelions, oxalis, plantain, and other broadleafed weeds. And if you are, sometime in the next 4 weeks or so, would be a good time to apply a broadleafed weed killer spray. This is going to be a product containing 2,4-D, the numbers 2, then a comma, 4, and a hyphen, and D as in dandelion, 2,4-D. There are other active ingredients in some of the products. Trimec is a blend of three broadleafed weed killers. I'm fine either way, but with Trimec you have to be a lot more careful because it does have those other two products are active in the soil. They can soak into the soil and be taken up through the root systems of trees and shrubs, whereas with 2,4-D it is only active through the leaves of the weeds, and so it's a little bit safer. That's why you'll see warnings on some of the product labels that say don't use beneath trees and shrubs. So anyway, but this is the time. Do it on a warm day when it's not going to rain for a couple of days, and you can get rid of those broadleaf weeds before they get big and nasty and ugly over the winter. You have to have temperatures that are up in the 60 to 70 degree range, and there will come a time, except in South Texas, there will come a time in midwinter when you won't have warm enough temperatures to use those. So that's why you do it in late October or November. Otherwise, you have to wait until late February. So anyway, there you go. That's all of that. What else do we want to talk about? Let me give you the phone number again because we still have a line or two open, and then we're going to take our first break, and then we're going to plunge right into the phone calls. So please give us a call right now. It's 888-256-1080. This is the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. And you won't have to wait very long. The questions begin to get a little bit quicker this time of year. 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Please call right now, won't you? I have something very special to mention to you for Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening, my book. I did this last year and it went over so well, I decided I would do it again. The latest book that I have written is not in stores. It's not on Amazon. I have made it easy for you to get it and give it as a gift. The first book you buy is the regular price of $33.95 plus tax and postage. But the second and third books that you buy, you can buy for $28.95 each. They need to be shipped to the same mailing address. And it's a limited time offer, but that is a tremendous savings. We sold a lot of books with that offer last year, and I'm thinking this might be a really nice holiday gift item for you, and I'm kind of interested in getting them signed, sealed, and delivered before the holidays get really crazy and the crush hits. And so this is our opportunity to do this now. I'm doing it a little bit early just because I'm the guy who gets to sign all of them. So this is 840 of my photographs, 344 pages, covering all aspects of landscapes, lawns, and gardens for all of Texas. And this is the book that is not in any way similar to the Cowboy Boot book from 1991 and 1982. Those are old, old historic books. They are out of date. But those are the ones, unfortunately, that you find in the bookstores and on Amazon. If you want the latest thing that I have written, this is the one you need to get. And it's only from my website, only by calling my office. The only two ways you can get it. Now remember, $33.95 for the first book, second and third book sent to the same mailing address. Only $28.95, and I will sign every one of them. Here are the ways you can buy it. You either buy it from neilsperry.com, NEILSPERRY.com, or you can call my office Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, at 1-800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769, but the better way by far is at neilsperry.com. It seems like these days, temporary storage facilities are on every street corner, but let's do some math. For what you're paying in yearly costs for that storage room, you could own your own metal storage building, your own building, right there in your own backyard. How's that happen? Well, with a Mueller backyard building. Their backyard building kits are easy to assemble with bolt-together designs. They're priced right. You keep your stuff at home, and you're not throwing away money by leasing storage. Their kits come in a variety of sizes with more than 30 colors from which to choose, adding style to your storage space. If you need a larger storage solution, Mueller's pre-engineered standard series buildings can accommodate almost any need. Whether it's a smaller place for a lawnmower, a place for cars, boats, or even an RV, you can have peace of mind that a Mueller metal building will protect those treasures at a reasonable price. See all the options at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, or give them a call at 877-2-MUELLER to find a location near you. That's 877-268-3553. Mueller, made in America and made to last. We'll have more after this message. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to our phone lines. We have our first call today. Let me give you that number again because we persistently have an empty line and I'd like to get them filled up. You never know how quickly phone calls finish up, and I don't want to be left hanging there with dead air. You know, this is the way it would sound if I didn't have any calls. Not very exciting, is it? So give us a call, won't you? 888-256-1080. My monologue, if you don't call, is only slightly more exciting than what you just heard. 888-256-1080. Lois is in La Mesa. Lois, it's Neil. Good morning. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
How may I help you?
Our yard is just doesn't do anything. It's just we water it regularly and fertilize it, but it's just real pale. And when my husband digs out in it, he said there's spider roots everywhere, and we don't know what's wrong.
All right, spider roots meaning a lot of just really fine roots beneath the soil.
Yes.
All right, and it's Bermuda grass.
Yes.
Lois, that sounds like perhaps the water that you're putting on and that, you know, when you do get rainfall, sounds like it's not soaking in very deeply and the grass is very shallow. The roots are very shallow. I don't know, without watching you and he take care of the lawn and without looking at the lawn, just going with what you've told me, it's kind of hard to diagnosed, but let me tell you two or three things that will help Bermuda grass more than anything else. I've been around Bermuda grass all of my life. Number one, it needs nitrogen. It's a heavy feeder, and so in La Mesa, you would want to fertilize Bermuda in mid-April, and then again mid-June, and probably early to mid-August, and then late September. And you would use an all-nitrogen fertilizer, the first number of the analysis, and it needs to be a high-quality fertilizer that has a good bit of that nitrogen in slow-release form. If you do that those four times, that'll keep it really well fed. That's going to give it the dark green color that you're looking for. We don't want to just go nuts over it and try to overdo it, though, with fertilizer, and we don't want it to be, you know, I don't know how you are, but I don't really care if my lawn looks like a putting green. That's not my goal. I just want to have an attractive, functional lawn that looks nice and doesn't have a bunch of weeds in it. So, you know, there's something in between there, a compromise where we all can exist without driving ourselves nuts. All right, so that's the fertilizer. The other thing that I see people doing, a couple of other things that I see people doing that would lead their grass not to be nice and thick and dark green, would be they mow too high. Bermuda grass, common Bermuda grass, and that's the term that turf grass people use for the standard variety that's grown from seed. Common Bermuda grass needs to be mowed fairly short, at 1.25 inches to 1.5 inches, and a lot of people mow it at 2 to 3 inches or higher. And it gets very thin when you do that. It doesn't look very good. It doesn't have a good color to it. It's very, very lanky, and you can look straight down into it and see the ground. So that's another thing that you might work on. You might drop the mower down next spring. I wouldn't do it now, but you do it in the spring. And then the third thing goes back to what I started with, and that is when you water, water deeply, and then let it get a little bit dry before you water again. You don't want to water a little bit every day. That's usually when you get those shallow roots right near the surface. So somewhere in there, I'll bet, is what you need to help you, but I'm not sure exactly which one of those is the biggest help.
Okay, where do you get this fertilizer?
Almost any nursery or hardware store. Most feed stores will have it. If you tell them I'm looking for a really good landscape fertilizer, and you tell them you want an all-nitrogen fertilizer, I really don't want to get highly technical on it, but there's an old type of fertilizer that's very inexpensive, and a lot of people think that's what I'm talking about, and it is not. That's ammonium sulfate. That's 2100, and that is not good for turf grass. That's all fast-release nitrogen. That would be like if I suddenly started to exist totally on soft drinks, sugared soft drinks. That was my only nutrition. Well, I wouldn't last very long.
Uh-huh.
And that's what that would amount to in giving to your lawn. So what you want is a high-quality fertilizer. It has a little bit of that kind of nitrogen, but also has a timed-release, slow-release form of nitrogen in it, too.
Okay.
A good fertilizer person, a good salesperson, will know what I'm talking about, and they'll know when you ask, I want a fertilizer that has a lot of slow-release nitrogen. And you know what they'll do? They'll turn that bag over and they'll start pointing it at tiny print. you'll say, oh my gosh, Neil has sent me back to college or back to high school to learn about fertilizer analysis, and you'll think I've tortured you or something. but that's what you need, and that same fertilizer will work for all your shrubs and trees, and actually for your flowers and vegetables.
Okay, thank you very much.
I am glad you called. Have a great day. Thank you. Let's go to Henry in the town I was born in San Antonio. Henry, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, how can I help you?
Yeah, my wife likes to plant a lot of plants, and some groundhogs, I call it a groundhog, keeps on messing with them, eating them, killing them. What can you do to get rid of that?
Okay, groundhogs don't come into Texas. They are a Midwestern and Northeastern animal. Let's give me the description of what the damage looks like. What do you see?
Well, she's seen a crepe myrtle about 3 feet tall just go right into the ground. They pulled it right down.
All right.
It's just, I call it a groundhog, but I don't know if it is.
It's not going to be a groundhog, so now we've got to figure out what it might be. What kind of soil do you have? Do you have sand or clay?
It's sand.
All right. So at that point, then, you may have gophers or moles or something of that sort. You know, what I'm going to do is I think the best thing I can do is send you to a nursery that's fairly close to you. You have all kinds of soil in Bexar County. And so that's why I want you to go to a nursery or a really good hardware store, not a national chain store, but some place where you can talk to a local gardening expert. And if you have photographs of any of the damage, not a missing plant. There used to be a plant here. That's not what I'm talking about. But if there are mounds or tunnels or anything that you can photograph and take in, they will know what's going on in your area. And they can help you better than I can without seeing it. It's not going to be groundhogs. It would be gophers or moles or something of that sort. That would be what I would imagine.
We'll do that.
Yeah, you're going to have to find out what the varmint is, and then there will be the proper control. I have a long description on my website at neilsperry.com in the frequently asked questions of gophers and moles and how to tell which you have and how to control them. But I want you to make sure that's what you have, not an armadillo or something of that sort. Armadillos are the universal problem across Texas, and they don't eat things, but they sure do dig stuff up. So anyway, Henry, I appreciate your call. I just need a little more detail. Thank you very much. Folks, the lines are open right now. Here is that number. Give me a call, won't you please? Let's talk gardening. That number is 888-256-1080 for the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. It's 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Call right now. You'll have very little waiting, and we'll get you right on the air, and you can go on about your day. You can go on and get out to the nursery and spend a lot of money on end-of-season sale items. There's some great sales going on. 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. Let me tell you about my website. It's neilsperry.com. My first name confuses people lots of times, even on my Facebook page. People where it just says Neil Sperry, people will misspell it with the name right above it. But it's in alphabetic order, N-E-I-L, if that helps at all, E-I-N-E-I-L, neilsperry.com is my website. And that's where you can buy the book that I just described a few moments ago, my newest book, with that great special price for the second and third copies if you want to give it as a gift. That's also where you can sign up for my free electronic newsletter that I'll talk about a little later in the program. It's where those 1,001 frequently asked questions are all listed, including the gophers and moles and 1,000 other questions. That's a lot of questions, by the way. That was a book that where the publisher went bankrupt, not because of my book, I don't think. I hope not. But about a month after the book came out, hence why I self-published this latest book, I might add. But anyway, I decided I'd just put the whole book on the website, and it's there for free. That book is for you to access, the 1001 Frequently Asked Questions. That's on my website, and a lot of other good information. That's at neilsperry.com. I hope you'll look at it and kind of prowl around. I think you'll enjoy it. neilsperry.com. And we'll be back right after these messages. Thank you, Kelly, very, very much. We have one line open. That is all we have. You better grab it while you can, and it is, as Kelly just said, 888-256-1080. Let's go to Glenn in Bryan. Glenn, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hello, Neil.
Hi.
What I would like to ask you is it sufficient to cover roses with plastic when you spray the yard with 2,4-D?
Yes, sir. If you are using a product that is only 2,4-D, if you're using a tank sprayer, let me see how I can say this, Glenn, and make any coherent sense so that people won't damage their roses. If you're using a tank sprayer and if it is still, listen to all these disclaimers, And if you don't pump it up to maximum pressure, and if you use a fairly, well, kind of a mid-sized droplet, and if you direct the spray away from the plants, you can probably get fairly close without any risk of damaging the roses. But your idea is better than that. Just don't leave it covered very long, because if the sun's right out, you could overheat pretty quickly.
Well, the yard is heavily infested so with broadleaf weeds, so I thought I would use a hose-end sprayer.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Yeah. You get much, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I really should have put that into the initial comments earlier. You get so much better coverage, and you use less active ingredient if you use a tank sprayer. This was part and parcel to what my dad did with his research for 25 years for Texas A&M. Out by Easterwood Airport, there used to be a Quonset hut that was for all the broadleafed weed killers, and it had a big sign on it that said, this is where they go, and then the other building said, no herbicides or contaminated equipment in this building. And once you use a tank sprayer or hosing sprayer for a broadleaf weed killer, you really ought to mark it and not use it for anything else after that. But I really prefer to use a tank sprayer. It's annoying as all get out because you have to stop and pump it all the time. But the hosing sprayers use a lot more material, and they become the wind that propels the herbicide. 2,4-D will volatilize, and it will drift a ways.
Right.
So you can use a hose-end sprayer, but I wouldn't be within 15 or 20 feet. I worry about putting plastic over roses because, well, roses have thorns.
True.
Yeah.
So okay,
the other thing you could do would be have somebody stand there with a big, tall piece of cardboard, and that might be easier. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you a lot.
You bet a lot. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Bob in Corpus Christi. Bob, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hey, Neil. This is Bob and Sue Stern. We just arrived back from Germany. We've been working for the Army over there. And
wow.
We're going to be on San Padre Island there with the humidity, with the wind and sandy soil. We're looking for potted plants, flowering plants that we should be looking for that'll do okay in the heat and humidity down here.
Oh, you will have so many from which to choose. Get into a nursery. You're going to have three times the numbers of things that you can use that mere mortals in the rest of the state don't have access to, can't use because of freezing weather. But you begin to pick up all the tropical hibiscus and bougainvilleas and plumbago that the rest of us don't grow. You would have Ixora, you'd have so many things that would be nice, as well as during the winter, you could grow petunias and, of course, pansies, snapdragons, alyssum, all the other cool season crops. I mean, you're going to be warm, but it's not like it'll be in July. And so
right.
You use the cool season crops, that we'll be talking about. For planting in February, you can plant in November or December and enjoy them all through the winter. What I would suggest, Bob, is get to a good, you are such a micro climate on the island, I would get to a good independent retail garden center, an independent that understands how it is right there where you are, and let them guide you and look around at what you're going to learn that first 6 or 12 months that you're there, you're going to learn what you like the best. I'm jealous. Not so jealous of the humidity, but I am jealous of what you can grow.
Location, yeah, that's right. Oh, thank you so much.
Did you enjoy Germany?
Oh, we had a wonderful time. We were there for a few years.
I have heard that it's beautiful. I've not been there. I've heard it's just beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful. And, you know, gardening is, it's spring to fall.
Yes.
Where you just everything has to be inside. So
yes, I understand. Well, welcome home.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you a lot. Appreciate that. Let me go to Linda. I'm doing something very gamblish here. That's a new word for me, and that is taking my last call. So I need to reload those phones, folks. Here's the number again. I'm going to Linda, and then I'm out on the edge of the ledge. It's 888-256-1080, the Texas Lawn and Garden Hour. So I just really trust you that you'll call while I'm talking to Linda. 888-256-1080. We've been friends a long time, so I know you'll call. 888-256-1080. 256-1080. Hi, Linda. This is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning, Neil. I just have one question.
Sure.
You just talked to a woman about a turf fertilizer, mm-hmm. and you said not to use ammonium sulfate because it's just rapid release. And I was wondering what you use ammonium sulfate for.
Well, there are times when ammonium sulfate would be okay. I don't work in agronomy and field crops, but I'm sure that there are times when farmers would use it. I have been known to recommend it once in a long while for somebody who has a very thin lawn. Let me give you an example. If Lois from La Mesa had called in April instead of in at this time of year, and had presented me with that same question. I have a lawn that historically has not been very thick, and I told her to scalp it, which is, you know, maybe she'd been mowing it too high, and put a fertilizer out to thicken it up. I might have recommended the ammonium sulfate that one time
okay.
in April to boost it into rapid growth for one time, or maybe more likely in June when it's growing actively anyway. And I have used it on my own Bermuda grass once or twice in the 41 years that I've lived where we live. And that was when I was getting rid of Dallas grass, and I wanted to get the Bermuda to fill back in very quickly.
Oh, okay. But is it good for St. Augustine?
It is horrible for St. Augustine.
Oh, is it really?
It is. And the reason is that St. Augustine has a growing, increasing problem with a disease called gray leaf spot, which is exacerbated by nitrogen.
Okay.
And that is just you're spoon feeding the disease nitrogen when you put ammonium sulfate out.
Mm-hmm.
It is such fast release. If you get a rain after you put ammonium sulfate out, a week later you will have a flush of new growth and you will have no fertilizer left in the soil. It's like a teenager who skids away from the stop sign and then slams on the brakes. That's the way it operates. So
yeah, okay.
a good fertilizer will have some ammonium sulfate or its equivalent in the fertilizer, so you get a quick green up, but it'll have a lot of slow release nitrogen that's encapsulated or coated so that you get a sustained feeding as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. Thank you. Neil Sperry's eGardens is my free electronic newsletter. I sit at my computer in my home office, and I type the stories. In fact, I was working on one earlier today. It was one that is not quite as dated as some of the other stories, because normally I want eGardens to be extremely timely. This one is kind of timely for this time of year. I'm not going to scoop myself and tell you what it's about, but it comes from my computer directly to your computer. We really concentrate Wednesday and Thursday morning. All day Wednesday and Thursday morning are really kind of set aside for eGardens because it is sent out by constant contact from my computer to your computer, to your email box, Thursday evening, just a little bit after 6. You have to sign up for it. I cannot sign you up for it. We have mid 50,000, 54,000, 55,000. I haven't checked recently. Gretchen at my office assembles everything for me and gets it ready to send out after I type it all. But it is fun to do. I write almost all of it. Diane Sitton writes one story a month for us. She's fabulous, and her photos are just fabulous. And Stephen Chambly, one of the most gifted writers in horticulture, writes one story a month for us also. Neil Sperry's eGardens. It is free. It always will be. And like I say, it comes from my computer to yours. I have the question of the week, or sometimes a couple of questions of the week. I have things to do. It's called Gardening This Weekend, where I outline the things you want to watch for the upcoming weekend. It comes out Thursday evening, so it's what you would want to buy and have ready on Friday and Saturday. Then I usually have a featured plant of the week. And it really is fun to do. We've been doing it for a long time. Neil Sperry's eGardens. You can take a look at it at my website at neilsperry.com. You sign up for it. Click on the eGardens tab. You sign up there, and if you scroll down just below the sign-up spot, you can see the most recent issue of it. Neil Sperry's eGardens. I hope you will. Sign up for it at neilsperry.com. More after these messages. All right, Kelly, thank you. I accept that challenge. Let's go to Alpine in Brewster County. Beautiful, beautiful part of Texas. Let's go to Bain. Bain, this is Neil. Good morning.
Thank you, Neil. I got a problem. We've got some potted miniature rose plants that have done real well, but all of a sudden they grew some mold-looking stuff on them, and now they're like dead. Are they finished?
Okay, the mold that you're talking about looked like flower dusted on the leaves?
More hairy looking, right up. It started right below the bloom and like spread.
Wow, that sounds disgusting, doesn't it?
Yeah. Put a lot of work into those damn little bushes.
Yeah. So what color was it then?
White.
It was white, all right. Mm-hmm. I really am thinking you probably had powdery mildew. Mildew is and black spot are the two common problems on roses. Miniature roses are not commonly tested and studied and critiqued as heavily as bush roses are for resistance to disease problems before they're put into the marketplace. If somebody finds a pretty color and a nice flower form, that it seems to me that they tend to introduce them into the market without testing for those common rose disease problems. That sounds like powdery mildew. And I don't know whether they're dead. If the plants have lost all their leaves and the stems are brittle, then yeah, probably they are. There are fungicides that will control powdery mildew, but you have to spray pretty often. You probably have to spray them weekly, even in alpine, which seems kind of odd. Powdery mildew is not necessarily totally related to humidity. A lot of people would think that it was, but it isn't. And plus, we're watering potted plants and getting them wet. It would help to keep the water off the leaves and stems. Water the soil. But I'll bet that was black spot.
It seemed to happen around. We had like three gloomy days in a row,
right?
And then that's when that stuff showed up.
I watch you're one of the bookmarks I have on WeatherBug on my phone, and I watch the weather in Brewster County. It's just interesting to watch what happens, and because I root for you guys to get some rain once in a while.
Right.
I would, if they're still living and look like they could be salvaged, I'd get into Morrison's and see if they don't have a fungicide that would help you.
Okay. All right, then. Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Tell those that are my friends, tell them hi for me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Let's go to Rosalie in Riviera. Rosalie, this is Neil. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I sort of have the same question on my rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves, not all of them, but they turn brown or yellow, get black spots on them.
That's black spot. And the oddity about black spot is it starts out with yellow leaves, yellowing and yellow spots, and then you see the dark brown. They never really are big black spots on the leaves. I don't know who came up with that name.
What causes that, or what?
It's fungal. It's a disease. It's a fungal disease. It is the number one cause of rose problems worldwide. My good friend Dr. Steve George with Texas A&M planted several hundred varieties of roses about 20 years ago. And studied them for years. I don't know if he's still doing that or not. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, he was comparing them for their resistance to black spot. And the ones that were resistant and did not develop black spot problems in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and then later over the whole state of Texas, and then later over the United States, were listed as earth-kind roses. They could be grown without regular spraying, like I was just describing for the powdery mildew. You might want to look at Texas A&M Earth Kind Roses, and you'll find the ones that are most resistant to black spot. Steve's work kind of got interrupted in the Dallas-Fort Worth area by the horrible epidemic of a fatal virus called Rose Rosette that hit and has taken things off course on roses in the area where I live and work. We don't have many roses right now.
So can you actually get rid of it, or you just have to keep spraying with something?
The way to get rid of it is to start with a resistant variety initially that isn't going to have to be sprayed. Otherwise, if you have a variety that has some special meaning to you, it carries the name of your favorite aunt, and you just want to have Martha, the variety Martha, because your aunt's name was Martha, then you're going to have to spray it every week in the spring and fall.
What do you spray it with?
You'll have to get to a garden center, and there will be several choices of fungicides. This is such a huge issue. That's one of the big money makers for the companies that sell fungicides is something for black spot. There are lots of good products on the market.
So you mentioned something a while ago to the other gentleman about don't get the leaves wet, just water the dirt. But what about when it rains?
Well, that's one of the problems. If you're in an area where there is a great deal of rain, then you're going to have to spray more often because it's going to be more of a problem. I can only imagine how the rose garden in Portland, Oregon, golly, they must really have a challenge. But that's black spot. You can do all the reading you wish on black spot. I would recommend going to American Rose Society. I think it may be ars.org, and to read up on black spot. They have a lot of good information.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for calling, Rosalie. I appreciate that. Charlie in Palestine, you hang right there, and I will come right to you. Let me get my last break out of the way. Neil Sperry's Lone Star Gardening is my latest book. It is the one that has 11 chapters, 840 of my photographs, and 344 pages covering all aspects of landscapes, lawns, and gardens for all of Texas. You may be saying to yourself, I want to go in and take a look at that book. I'm getting to the bookstore this afternoon. Or I'll go look on Amazon. Well, it's in neither of those places. I chose, when I self-published this book, to print it in Texas, so it was printed in San Antonio. Number two, I chose not to put it on Amazon and not to put it in bookstores, because to do so would have run the cost up to you, but only to offer it through my office. And that keeps the cost at the minimum because there are no middle people. I take the order. I mentioned it in my radio program and in eGardens, and that's the way I sell it. If I ever lose those two venues, then at that point I don't have any way to sell the book, and so things might have to change. But this has worked out beautifully. We're in the third printing of the book, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for you. Every copy that I sell, I get to sign this way. Now, I have a special going on for it right now. The first book is the regular price of only $33.95 plus tax and postage. And by the way, this is a hardback and it's printed on high quality paper. And remember, 840 of my photographs and 344 pages. This is a book that would be normally $50 or more if you bought it in a bookstore. The second and third books, instead of being $33.95, are only $28.95 for this limited time special if they're shipped to the same mailing address. The best way to order it is at neilsperry.com, neilsperry.com, but you can also call Monday through Friday, 800-752-GROW. Better way, neilsperry.com. Why pay every month for a temporary storage facility when you can own a Mueller building? Mueller's backyard buildings are easy to assemble, affordable, and they offer a permanent storage solution right in your own backyard. With a variety of sizes available and more than 30 colors from which to choose, their backyard building kits complement any home or landscape. And if your equipment requires even more storage space, Mueller's Standard Series buildings are ready to go to work for you. From workshops to big barns, these pre-engineered bolt-together buildings come in a variety of size and color options. You can visit them online at MuellerInc.com, MuellerInc.com, to get a free customized building estimate. While you're there, click on their color selector tool to make choosing the perfect combination of colors an easy decision. To find out more about Mueller Buildings Metal Roofing, call 877-2-MUELLER today. That's 877-268-3553, or visit them at MuellerInc.com. We'll have more after this message. Thank you, Kelly. Let's go to the phones. We have about a minute to help Charlie in Palestine. Charlie, how can I help?
Yes, sir. Good morning. Real quick, I have my neighbor. He's our property line is about approximately 50 yards away from each other, and he has mostly sandy soil, and I have mostly clay soil, and we're trying to figure out why there's such a drastic variation.
Oh, that just happens. I had a guy send me a photograph of a plant that was dying on his property. He had moved it from one side of the property to the other. He had 100 acres, but it's the same kind of a deal. And it was right where the East Texas red sands changed to the black clays around DFW. It was near Commerce. And that tree just wouldn't grow in the black clay soil. It was that same deal. It's just the way soils are put together. It's a sudden transition. It's just the way it is, Charlie. Hey, I got to run. Everybody, thank you for listening. And thanks to those of you who called. Until next week, happy gardening.